from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. San Francisco Board of Supervisors President David Chu, along with co-sponsor supervisors Eric Marr and Maya Cohen, have proposed a citywide ballot initiative, the Family-Friendly Workplace Ordinance, which would allow workers caring for children to request flexible working arrangements. The initiative, patterned after similar ones in the UK, New Zealand, and Australia, if approved, would be on the November ballot, and it would allow employers to decide on flex time requests submitted in writing and subject to appeal to the city's Office of Labor Standards Enforcement. In this forum segment, we want to discuss the initiative and hear from opposing points of view. And this initiative is still being written as we speak, perhaps even. David Chu is here with us, in fact, to put us right up to date and talk about the initiative. He's president of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, represents District 3, and is the lead author of the Family-Friendly Workplace Ordinance, again, co-sponsored by Supervisors Eric Marr and Maya Cohen. Welcome, David Chu.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
Glad to have you. Also glad to have Mark Klayman here with us, who is the owner of Pet Camp. As I said, maybe he should be in our second hour. We're going to be talking about dogs, but he's here with us in this segment. He co-chairs the Small Business Advisory Council for the San Francisco Chamber of Commerce, and Pet Camp is an overnight and daycare facility for dogs and cats. Welcome, Mark Klayman.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being here. Supervisor Chu, let's begin with you, and let's talk about what you have essentially here. This is, first of all, the spirit of this is really to reverse family flight in part, isn't it?
The spirit of this is really to assist families that are really struggling to juggle the child care, daycare, soccer practices, doctor's appointments, and general work-life balance. And the measure is not just about parents with kids. It's about any employee who's a caregiver, whether or not you have children, but it could also apply to if you're taking care of a sick spouse, if you have an elderly parent. The fact of the matter is work-life balance has been very, very difficult for families, and particularly over the last couple decades with demographics massively shifting. It used to be that you had a typical male breadwinner at home with a wife who worked just as hard but worked in the house. That has completely changed.
But you do want to make this a family-friendly city, too.
Absolutely.
That's top of the agenda.
That is very much a part of what we're trying to do. We have heard from thousands of parents who are really trying to balance their work issues as well as being a good parent or being a good caretaker, and that is what this is about.
And it's about request. We should lay that on the line here. We're not saying mandatory for employers
or
anything along those lines.
There's been a little bit of a misunderstanding about what this measure is. It's simply about allowing an employee to request of an employer the possibility of a more flexible work arrangement. All the ordinance says is you can request it. An employer can either grant that request or deny the request. And if it's denied, there's a requirement of a meeting. There's actually no requirement of a specific – there's no appeal process to a labor agency. I think that was another misunderstanding.
That was certainly what was reported initially. But then you get – and we'll hear from Mark Klayman, of course, what his concerns are about that. You get people like Jim Lazarus from the Chamber of Commerce saying it's not business friendly. If you're a newer established business, you're going to have to go to hearings. And the fact of the matter is that it seems like intrusion to many people in the business
community. That is simply not true. In fact, part of what we're trying to do is to push a very business-friendly proposal that employers that have engaged in more flexible working arrangements around the country and in other countries have really found to work well. And the fact of the matter is, if I work for you, Michael, and you allow
me – Nice to have a president of supervisors working for me.
And if you allow me to shift my hours a little bit or go part-time for a period of time while I'm taking care of a sick member of my family – I'm a much more satisfied and happy employee. I'm more productive. I'm more loyal. Absenteeism goes down. Turnover goes down. There have been many HR studies show that this actually helps the bottom line of companies. So this is very much a policy that I believe will help our businesses and help our local economy.
And let me just get the timeline on this. You've been talking about amendments, working with the business community, I know, on amendments. The Rules Committee is going to hear a proposal tomorrow.
We will be hearing a proposal tomorrow afternoon.
But then you have to submit it to voters by early August, right?
We have to submit it to voters in the coming weeks. We have the opportunity for a number of hearings with the possibility for amendments. I have heard a lot of feedback from a lot of different quarters about the legislation. We do plan to make a number of amendments to address some of the details and the periphery of the legislation. But the heart of this is really to help effectuate a little bit of a shift in the workplace culture by simply allowing an employee to request a flexible work arrangement.
And again, David Chu here with us in studio, president of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors and represents District 3, author of the Family-Friendly Workplace Ordinance, which Mark Lehman is opposed to. He's the owner of Pet Camp and co-chairs the Small Business Advisory Council of the San Francisco Chamber of Commerce. I imagine you sympathize with some of the remarks I made about Jim Lazarus, Mark, but also I think the concern seems to be in a lot of the business community, the potential for litigation here and having to make these kind of appeals. In other words, intrusion again.
Well, I think there's twofold. I mean, this was presented to the business community as a family-friendly workplace ordinance and something to make San Francisco more family-friendly. I have four young children. San Francisco is not family-friendly, but this won't make it any more family-friendly. And frankly, it forgets that many small businesses are family-owned businesses. So adding more burdens to a family-owned business adds another burden to families. It makes it less family-friendly, not more family-friendly.
You're saying this isn't a problem. I mean, this is not necessary to have this kind of ordinance.
So. Well, I think the other issue that becomes important to realize is that businesses, large and small, already accommodate the vast majority of schedule requests from their employees, whether they're caregivers, parents, student schedules, whatever it might be, outdoor hobbies. I mean, the list of requests one gets when running a business for scheduling accommodations is endless. You're always creating balance. You're always creating equilibrium to meet as many employees' needs as the business needs all at the same time. Having an outside agency tell you how to do that, create a hierarchy of needs so that caregivers' needs potentially come above every other employee's needs, creates uncertainty and creates the possibility of litigation. If we're already doing it, why mandate it? Why have legislation?
Well, because families are fleeing San Francisco. It's not family friendly. Wouldn't this help in that vein? Or do you...
I think the first reason families flee San Francisco is the school system and then the housing. And while I understand that the supervisor certainly doesn't have direct control over either of those issues, he has tremendous influence on those issues, as does the rest of the Board of Supervisors. And perhaps focusing on those two issues first and this much further down the line might be a more appropriate use of resources.
And you say what to this argument, David Chu?
Well, first of all, we have certainly as elected officials been focused on developing a ton of housing and affordable housing in the city. There are a lot of resources and time spent on fixing our schools. And I'm not saying that this one thing alone is a panacea for answering all these questions. But the fact of the matter is we hear every day from many families that are struggling to be good workers and be good parents. And really, we want to address that concern. The other thing I want to say is there has been a suggestion that there are many employers that already do this. And I would say a couple things. First of all, part of what we want to do, if there are business owners that are already doing this, is we want to level the playing field for those that aren't. But we've also heard from many employees who don't feel comfortable asking from an employer about this. They are concerned about discrimination or retaliation simply for asking. There's a bit of a flexibility stigma when an employee goes to an employer and says, I'd like to establish this request. They're often passed up for promotions or otherwise penalized simply for asking the question. A lot of employers say they offer it, but if you ask their employees, many of them are not happy with their schedules. They don't feel that they actually have flexibility. Their managers may, every once in a while allow them some level of flexibility or give flexibility to one or two pet employees within an organization, but it's not something that most employees feel that comfortable with in a lot of environments.
Well, you spoke about studies that show that flexible work schedules actually help companies, and there are all kinds of different examples. Medtronic up in Santa Rosa, for example, is one that's often hauled out. They're saving money, in fact. But then you have the Melissa Mayer, Yahoo, and Best Buy that say this is not a good idea to have these kinds of schedules. People should actually not work from home, not telecommute. But flexible work schedules, some studies say, actually hurt careers.
I would actually say exactly the opposite, we've got pages of studies that show exactly the opposite. So, for example, let's talk about absenteeism. You've got at least 30 million full-time workers in the country who are unpaid family caregivers, and it's estimated that absenteeism related to the fact that they need to take care of their families has led to $7 billion of costs in the overall economy. Let's talk about turnover. Due to family caregiving, you have a lot of workers that have to depart the workplace every year. Replacing those workers costs U.S. employers literally billions of dollars every year as well. And two-thirds of all HR managers, when they're asked about this, they say that family supportive policies is the most important factor for helping to attract and retain employees.
Well, President Chu, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you because it's come up in print. How about your ambitions? This is an apple pie issue. Some people think you may want to run for assembly.
You know, I actually haven't figured out what my political future will hold, but part of why I'm so passionate about this topic is it is part of a broader conversation that we're having about the workplace. In 2007, then-Senator Hillary Clinton, then-Senator Barack Obama, Senator Ted Kennedy supported this very proposal. But it unfortunately didn't move far in Congress. And there has been a national conversation about whether jurisdictions should do this. Vermont, a few weeks ago, became the first state in the country to allow this type of more flexible work arrangement possibilities with requests. I'm hoping that San Francisco will follow suit. I think it's important for us to really step up and potentially provide leadership on this issue and to say as a community, we want to make sure that our workplaces work for all families, whether you're taking care of your kids, whether you're taking care of your sick parents or a spouse who's ill.
And Mark Klayman, from my reading of this ordinance that is being put forward, there would be exemptions, and it would apply only to small companies with 10 or more employees. Excuse me. Say again?
20 more employees. In
fact, so that's changed. It was 10 originally.
It is changing, and that represents the largest 5% of all businesses. So 95% of all businesses in San Francisco, and that would include the vast majority of all our small businesses, wouldn't have to apply.
So let me go back to you, though, Mark Klayman, on this. I mean, your concerns are with, well, the pool of businesses, even despite what David Chu just said, or concerns about work schedules being set maybe a couple weeks in advance?
I think that the supervisor is correct that if you can accommodate people's needs and their schedules, you get a better workforce. And that's, in fact, why every business that I've ever spoken to tries to do this. We understand that it's in our best business interest to be the best employers we can be, which means accommodating as many employee schedules as we possibly can. But that says it's constantly in flux. It's constantly striking a balance, having the city create a hierarchy of needs with a process where there's going to be potentially litigation, record-keeping requirements. It changes everything. And the fact that now we're trying – that it's being limited to the companies with only 20 employees or more, which is roughly about, I guess, the biggest 4,000 companies in San Francisco, those are the companies that have large HR departments and are doing all this stuff already. If there's concern about other companies outside of San Francisco not doing this, then we should really focus there. San Francisco is a super competitive environment. Companies know that. And we know that to get the best employees, we need to do the best we can. If places elsewhere aren't doing it, then they're having the problem, and perhaps that's why they're not as competitive. We are competitive, and we know it.
And again, Mark Klayman is the owner of PetCamp and co-chair of the Small Business Advisory Council of San Francisco Chamber of Commerce. I'm going to open up the phone lines and afford you who are listening an opportunity to join us, and you can do that live now at our toll-free number. It's 866-733-6786 if you'd like to weigh in or if you have questions or comments about this initiative, which still has to go through the process but may be on the November ballot. And you can also join us a number of other ways. Of course, you can email us, forum@kqed.org, or post questions or comments you might have onto our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. 5 months after Yahoo CEO Marissa Mayer banned employees from working from home, San Francisco Supervisor David Chu is proposing a family-friendly workplace rule that he says would help families balance work and home life, and employees who are parents and caregivers could request a flexible work schedule, including job sharing, telecommuting, or part-time employment. Business owners and other critics are saying government shouldn't intrude on how they run their companies. And the real question here is, should San Francisco be the first city in the nation to enact a flexible work provision? Again, you can join us toll-free at 866-733-6786. You can also tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum, or post any questions or comments you might have onto our Facebook page. Let me read some comments that are coming in here. This is a topic, obviously, it hits a lot of people where they live. Tony writes, I'm listening while working from home, which I was very grateful for during the BART strike. This affords some flexibility, but one problem is that I end up working a lot of extra hours. My clientele is all over the country, and I end up working from 6:30 in the morning until 4 or 5 business hours across 3 time zones, but I'm paid for 6 hours daily. I heard a caller last hour propose 24-hour workdays and felt dread. Let me go to some more of your comments here. Laura writes, this is not the business of the government. Also, I'm in favor of caregivers and parents having a flexible schedule option, but it would be better to provide the option to all employees so as not to punish those without children or those who are not caregivers. I can't have children. Does that mean I don't deserve the option to have a flexible schedule, Supervisor?
Well, you know, it was interesting. We first learned about this idea because it has been such a successful policy in other countries, in England, in Ireland, Australia, New Zealand. So, for example, in Britain, in the first year, over a million parents requested the right they were able to ask for a more flexible working arrangement. Nearly all of these requests were granted. Employers were very satisfied with this experience, and in fact so satisfied that they changed their rules to apply not just to caregivers but over time to allow the right to all employees. So, you know, that is certainly a possibility. I also, though, you know, I think it's important to note that while I think a lot of business owners say they offer this and they believe they offer this, the experience from the perspective of employees is very, very different. And we are trying to help change a workplace culture so that these conversations can happen in a safer space. There can be an opportunity for a conversation and negotiation. All we're asking for is the opportunity to request. We allow businesses, if they have good faith, valid reasons to business reasons to say no to a request. If for whatever reason Mark in his business is unable to juggle the hours, he can deny a request, and that's perfectly legitimate under our ordinance.
Well, here's talk about changing work culture. Here's a tweet, Mark Klayman, from a listener named Guy, who says, what about tax incentives for companies who allow employees to telecommute a certain number of hours per week? Would you be in favor of that?
We think the carrot is always better than the stick if you're trying to change behavior.
Well said. Let me go to some more of our listener comments and we'll go to your calls on our Facebook page. Cart writes, question is, who needs a flexible schedule? I observe in some companies there is an infestation of middle managers who feel entitled to spend all day in meetings, not really working and not managing people. They expect underlings to keep their noses to the grindstone while they themselves relax and chow down on catered food in conference rooms. Could it be that flexible schedules are a middle management invention and not intended for the overworked, overstressed, childless underlings who need flexibility most? Stephen Chu?
Well, you know, I would say as someone who used to run a business, I started and ran a small business for 9 years before I was elected to the Board of Supervisors. This was an issue that we were faced with early on in our company's history. We had a lot of young employees who were having kids, who were dealing with these caregiving needs. And we decided that we wanted to provide flexibility to our workforce, and it paid an enormous dividends for us. Those employees were able to get their work done and were very grateful for the opportunity to have more flexible hours. Turnover went to almost zero. Loyalty was very, very high. And so from my experience as someone who also ran a company and a small business, I believe this is good for business.
Mark Klayman.
Sure. And I couldn't agree more with the supervisor that he made a good business decision about what was best for his business and his workforce. And that's exactly how we should trust San Francisco businesses to run their businesses. If businesses in England are having trouble running their businesses and need the government to tell them how to run their business, it might explain why our San Francisco economy is so strident and so strong and other economies languish. You know, we're making good, smart business decisions. And I don't think we need the government to tell us how to make them any better.
Well, we need our callers to make this program better. And Edwin, you're first up. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys today?
Okay. I'm not speaking for all of us, just myself.
Well, I own two restaurants in San Francisco, common ownership, so we're over the 20-employee mark, almost at 30 employees now. So we're subject to a lot of additional ordinances. For example, most notably the Health ESF or Healthcare Security Ordinance. So when I hear about this potential legislation, I think to myself, the argument that this is not affecting small businesses is hogwash, because we all know that restaurants is considered a small business, employee percentage-wise, many more employees than most other businesses. This is automatically going to apply to our business, which is intensely labor-intensive. And I, as a restaurant owner for 4 years, we've never denied a single scheduling request, not one. So we are of this ideal mindset of restaurateurs that are really good to their employees. But encouraging, say, this idea that we can have our employees request off or these family things when we're already doing it, and then say this legislation saying that, well, the employer can then not grant a request, we're just further hurting employee morale and creating, in my opinion, a more tumultuous environment for employer-employee relations. And the notion that there's an HR department managing this for small businesses, particularly restaurants, and there are over, I think, 5,000 or 6,000 restaurants in San Francisco, is just silly. It's ludicrous. We're hurting our relations. We're further hurting employee morale. And I am the HR director. I'm the owner. I'm the dishwasher. I'm the cook. I'm the manager. and I'm the HR department. So thinking that this burden is going to fall on a big department to manage this and create a wonderful environment, it's just silly.
Edwin, I thank you for the call, and I want to hear Supervisor Chu talk to essentially what you've just directed here as an onerous burden upon you.
So first of all, I really appreciate the fact that the caller is already doing this and already practicing that. But the fact of the matter is we certainly know of many businesses that are not, and part of what we want to do is make sure there is a level playing field for everyone who's doing the right thing. But again, we also hear that employers say they're providing some level of flexibility, but the employees are not experiencing that. A manager may, from time to time, grant an employee a dispensation on one day to take the kid to the doctor's appointment. But by and large, that broader conversation of whether they can change the hours because the kid's at home for the summer or there's a new school schedule, those broader conversations don't happen. And then let me just end by saying that what we are talking about in this ordinance is something that is very, very simple. We are providing employees the right to request a workable, a more flexible working arrangement, but the employer can grant or deny this, and if a denial happens, there's a meeting. That is it. And that's what should happen already in a lot of workplaces, but it's not.
And you say what, Mark Lehman?
Well, I think one of the issues you raised early on is that this is still a moving target, so to speak. We haven't seen the final language that takes out any kind of appeal process or hearing process. The most recent versions that small business has seen basically says if you deny someone, you have a meeting, and then they can appeal that, and then you as the business have the burden of proof of showing why you made that decision.
Supervisor shaking his head negative.
It's actually not true. It specifically says in the version that you have in front of you that there is no specific appeals process on the part of an employee around this issue.
Is this ordinance online? Can people read it?
Yeah, people can read it. Where? And I'm happy to provide it. If people visit SFBOS for the Board of Supervisors.org, they can do a legislative search and find the ordinance. Or if people can feel free to email my office, david.chu@sfgov.org.
All right. I want to get some more callers on here. Let's go to Kavita. Good morning.
Hi. I'm calling because I really appreciate this bill coming through. I'm an employee that actually left the workforce to stay home and raise my baby, and I'm interested in the job-sharing component of this. I think that this is a really interesting way for women in particular that leave the workforce to raise their kids to go back, you know, potentially part-time. I think that that's been a huge struggle for me for reentering the workforce, and I was wondering if you could comment a little bit more about the job-sharing component.
That would absolutely be something that would be potentially part of a conversation around a flexible working arrangement. And we've heard that from a lot of women in the workforce who wish that there were part-time opportunities, who'd be willing, rather than a full-time job, to get paid less but to work less hours so that they could take care of their kids or take care of other family members. And that's exactly what we're trying to talk about. And in fact, in the literature, you know, there is a reason why women still make 70 cents on the dollar. There is a reason why women in the workplace are still not achieving what we hope them to achieve because these types of opportunities are not available to them. And instead, we have sort of the classic traditional model of being required to be at the workforce at particular times. It just frankly doesn't work with a lot of our 21st century work and family arrangements.
I want to mention for those of you who are interested in reading this initiative of Supervisor Chu's, there's a link on our website, which you can check out now. Thanks to Amanda Stupai for that, kqed.org/forum. And by the way, national average for households with kids is about 36 in most of the municipal areas in terms of percentages. San Francisco, it's almost half that. And I wonder, are there any statistics either you know on percentage of jobs a listener wants to know where flexibility is really an option? I know both my job and my wife's job, Josiah writes, have to occur during hours they currently operate. Any numbers?
It's really unclear. A lot of employers say they have flexible working possibilities, but when you really delve into what that means, it essentially means that an employer has the discretion to give an employee every once in a while that opportunity. But as far as having the types of conversations around potential part-time work or job sharing or being able to shift hours to accommodate different schedules that arise during the course of a year, that's not in place in a lot of places.
Mark Lehman shaking your head.
Yeah, I just don't believe that that's the case in San Francisco. I mean, yes, you have to work the hours if you're in a business, that the business is open, or the business needs to be open, or that you need to get the tasks done. But that's not the same to saying that they're not flexible or part-time or job sharing is available. Those are fundamentally different things. You can accommodate many different schedules and many different needs while still meeting the business needs. And hundreds and thousands of businesses in San Francisco do that every day. We don't need the government telling us that we need to do that. This is not about leveling the playing field. This is about sending the message to the rest of the country that San Francisco businesses are not good employers. We are good employers, and we don't need a negative message sent.
Well, let me read a few more messages coming in. Here's Ben, who writes on our website. Well, what about all the employees, teachers, daycare center employees, for whom shifting hours will drive up the cost of the services they provide, which is ultimately passed on to the people this initiative is supposed to help? Just like Healthy San Francisco, this will only be a cost-free benefit for a very short time until the marketplace adjusts and passes the cost back to everyone, whether they use the service or not. And Amy writes, I fully support Supervisor Chu's proposal, and I'm thankful that there are legislators who are working for the people. The idea that this isn't business-friendly is bunk. Businesses have been crying about how people-friendly policies are anti-business since the New Deal. Funny enough, the sky hasn't fallen, and businesses' productivity continues to increase as people-friendly policies increase. Not to mention, there's overwhelming research that shows that flexibility and telecommuting do, in fact, increase productivity and decrease turnover. So you got two opposite opinions, and let's go to you next. Hillary, join us. Hi.
Hi. I'd like to recommend an excellent book on this subject called Drive by Daniel Pink.
Okay. Thank you for that recommendation, and we'll go to another call. Art, you're on.
Thank you for taking my call. I would ask the question, we hear about a lot of studies that are proving that when someone voluntarily gives a flexible work schedule, that everybody is much happier. I would like to know if there's any studies done when people are forced to give a flexible work schedule, how happy are people, particularly the people who are signing the check. I would suggest to you that whenever someone is forced to do something, there tends to be a little bit more pushback than when someone is just doing it in the course of good business. Additionally, I'd like to go back to, with all due respect, to President Chu's comment about his business. His business was a technology business, which in fact started this kind of work flex schedule, and he was a part of that, and that's wonderful for him, but it worked for his company.
We're going to have to leave it there because we're out of time, but there's a lot of two Facebook remarks and website comments coming in, and a lot of people saying, like this listener, this is outright discrimination. You got a big controversial issue here. Good luck, and good luck, Mark Klayman. Thank you both for joining us, David Chu and Mark Klayman. Another hour of Forum Up Ahead. We're going to talk about dogs. Is San Francisco, is the Bay Area, whole region, too pampering of its pooches? When we return.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.